this meeting. I did receive your apology that you'll be 2 minutes late because of the queue at the gate there, but you are welcome. Now we are starting with our meeting. But before we start, because we don't know each other, I'll start with myself to introduce myself so that when we are speaking in the meeting, we must know each other. My name is Tebogo Modise. I'm the chairperson of Land Rural Development and Mineral Environment, what this committee. It's too long, but it's in energy there. That's why I'm saying it's too long. So I will give the members to introduce themselves, and then from there we'll take the apologies.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. My name is Matibe Chitarake Baldwin. I'm from Limpopo and I'm a member of this committee.
Good morning. My name is Andrew Arnold. I'm from the Western Cape, representing the Western Cape and also a member of the committee. Thanks.
Department?
Good morning, Chair, and the committee. My name is Tumisani Kupuza. I'm the Divisional Head, Water and Sanitation, Infrastructure Planning and Implementation, City of Tswane.
Good morning, members of the committee. My name is Tumisani Kupuza. I'm from Tswane.
Good morning. My name is Stevens Notwani, the group head for Utility Services Department, so that makes me responsible for water, sanitation, energy, and electricity. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning, members of the committee. My name is Abel Dao. I'm the MMC responsible for utility services in the city of Tswane, and I lead the team.
Good morning, Chair, honourable members, colleagues. I'm from the Department of Environment, Forestry and Fisheries, responsible for the legislation relating to threatened or protected species.
Good morning, honourable Chair and honourable members. I'm Linda Garlett, Chief Director, Law Reform and Appeals, and I'm from Environmental Affairs.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Kubis Juster. I'm the content advisor of the committee.
Morning, everybody. Asuka Bauer, committee secretary. Thank you.
Morning, I'm Sibu Somtembu, Provincial Head, Department of Water and Sanitation.
Morning, my name is Nopumelelo Mazibugo and I'm from PMG.
Know each other in the meeting. Can I give you 2 minutes to caucus because I can see you are caucusing? Or you are fine?
Through you, Chair. Our apology. I think the Department of Water and Sanitation, Uspu and I actually realized that apparently they gave him another venue where we actually should be. So can we just have a 2-minute caucus and verify whether we are at the right place?
Yeah, because when you introduce yourself,
we are surprised.
No, our apologies. Chairperson, thanks for the 2-minute caucus. I think Ubabu Mthembu, his team is at GH41, which should be the right committee. Yes. Anyways, no, we're not. Yeah. No.
From our side, the apologies is from Mrs. Ngwenya, Honorable Ngwenya. She's not well. Honorable Bibi, she's attending a meeting.
Joint Judicial Services. And Mukause doesn't say.
And Mam Kause is not.
She sent an apology.
And who else again?
That's it. The three.
It's only the three that were safe.
Yeah.
Yes. And Honorable Clute will join us later. Honorable Mahai will join us during the presentation then. He's coming. Thanks. Your department, do you have any apology? Now we can start with our presentation. Did we accept these apologies, members?
Okay. Yeah, we accept it.
Thanks, Chair. Department, you can proceed with a presentation or with a summary. Or we can discuss the report. Okay. Provincial report. You want to say something, Honorable Gluten? Honorable Honald.
Okay.
We are doing discussion. What?
We'll be starting off with item number one. We remember last week the committee had received a briefing from the department with regards to subordinate legislation pertaining to the rhino horn industry. We received two reports. We did not receive reports from all provinces. We received from Western Cape, Northern Cape. What we did last week, the minister also agreed, let's give provinces another week to submit more reports so that we could interrogate the matter. What happened was, thus far, no other province has submitted a lie. Eastern Cape gave one yesterday. So what we're doing today, just continuing that discussion with the department, we will go through these three reports that we received from the provinces, look at the issues, discuss them with the department to see whether the issues raised by the provinces, whether they are valid, whether they are accommodated, not accommodated, and we can go down that path. The presentation, there's no need to redo the presentation. We're going to just scrutinize the reports from the provinces with the department. Thereafter, the department will be excused, and we can then look at our own committee oversight report, etc. Thank you.
Gobas, can you, Oscar, can you read the
Eastern Cape one.
The Eastern Cape presentation?
Thank you, Chair. The report received from the Eastern Cape, the Portfolio Committee on Economic Development, Environmental Affairs and Tourism appreciates the opportunity to comment on the above-mentioned subordinate legislation. It just says the committee welcomes the subordinate legislation as it will assist in addressing gaps in existing legislation as well as emerging concerns with respect to trade in rhino horns. By this reading of this report from the Eastern Cape, it would assume that they are in supporting the legislation put forth by the department. The
Northern Cape
report reads, the legislature supports the proposed regulations with the following input. The regulations are welcomed for the intended purposes, that's A, and B,
the 3 years imposed on the prohibition of rhino trade should be reviewed in order to expedite the process of legalizing commercialization of rhino horn for medical purposes. So I think on the Northern Cape report, A is self-explanatory, it's as Eastern Cape it's welcome, but B, the 3 years imposed on the prohibition, I think the committee members can maybe engage the department on their view on the 3 year prohibition. Thank you.
Department? Thanks, Chair. If I can maybe just give an explanation again of the proposed intention of the 3 year prohibition. It is not intended to be a permanent prohibition, but we highlighted last week that the primary concern about the prohibition relates to the powdering of rhino horn and to sell the powder and to export the powder and also to sell pieces of rhino horn that's smaller than 5 centimeters, which is the size where the marking requirement is difficult to comply with. So generally that would be the size of specimens that cannot be marked. Now the reason for proposing the 3 year ban on the powdering and the selling of the powdered horn is because the concern that is the part of the rhino horn that's the most difficult to identify, to track it, to trace it, to monitor the movement, and it creates the door for laundering of that part or that in that form of rhino horn into the illegal international market. So the thinking behind the temporary proposal and tying a time frame to it is to allow us time to develop a proper trade model. So we want to promote the development of the economy involving that form of rhino horn. But we need something that will enable us to trace it and identify it, and we're not ready yet. So we need something that is tamper-proof or fraudulent-proof, because it will be destined for the international market. And currently, international trade for commercial purposes in terms of CITES is prohibited. So that's where our concern lies. So if we have a model where we can trace it and track it and see where it goes to, and we are able to regulate it, then it's something that we can support and we can allow the international trade. So that temporary ban or prohibition is only to allow us the time to develop that model that we can regulate. We will be able to regulate it. Thanks, Chair.
Members?
Chairperson, thanks. Can I just ask now in terms of the time, 3 years, is that now sufficient for everything to be concluded?
Yes, I wanted to check whether that 3 year, are they going to be able to develop a model within that 3 years? Or, so that we don't come back and say we need extension, we need to advance. If 3 years for you think is satisfactory, I think the explanation is okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to make sure that we then receive comments from the Western Cape, the Eastern Cape, and Northern Cape. That's all the comments we received. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Because it's a completely new area, we haven't done it before. We started off with thinking, let's try a period of 3 years, but we did make provision in the regulations or in that prohibition notice for the minister to reconsider that time frame after 3 years. So if it's necessary to extend it, she can extend it, or if it's not necessary to extend it, then she's not compelled to do so. So we built that into the prohibition to allow it to reconsider, to review it, and to extend if necessary.
Thank you.
Honorable Arnold, we can read the Western Cape. Okay. If you give us the permission, you will read it. Okay, sure.
Thank you, sir. I did not want to assume liberties. It is your province's report. Thank you. The report from the Western Cape Provincial Parliament, the Standing Committee on Agriculture, Environmental Affairs and Development Planning in the Western Cape Provincial Parliament welcomes the opportunity to comment on the aforementioned subordinate legislation. It also wishes to express its appreciation of the legislation's intent to protect the rhinoceros species under South African law, and the committee supports all actions that will protect and ensure the future of the rhinoceros species. The committee has deliberated on the impact of the subordinate legislation on the Western Cape and wishes to comment as follows. Chapter 5, Clause 18 has reference. The committee is of the view that the penalties as prescribed may not be sufficient to act as a real deterrent to transgressors. Consideration should be given to clarify and increase the penalties, especially the monetary amount. Furthermore, the different penalty amounts for environmental crime contained in different pieces of legislation is of concern to the committee. If illegal activities are to be discouraged, then penalties must be clear and not open to interpretation. The committee has also noted that this legislation will, in addition, cause added administrative responsibilities for provinces and would appreciate it if any assessment done in this regard could be shared with us. We trust that you take the aforementioned comments into favorable consideration. Sincerely, the Standing Committee on Agriculture, Environmental Affairs and Development Planning. So I take it first point of departure would be Chapter 5, Clause 18.
Thanks, Chair. I think I just want to, with your indulgence, Chair, just explain quickly, and I understand the concern about that, but I think we just need to clarify that the maximum penalty in terms of regulations is determined by NEMBA. So it sets the boundary, so we are bound to that. But I also want to clarify that where the contravention involves something related to a permit, the activity is carried out without a permit, or a person does not comply with a permit condition, that's a NEMBA offence, and NEMBA penalties will apply. So there the maximum penalty is 10 million, 10 years, or three times the commercial value, whichever is greater than the 10 million or the three times the commercial value. Or if a person allows another person to do something that's a contravention in terms of NEMBA and the permitting issue, that's a NEMBA offence. Where it's a regulatory offence or an offence in terms of the regulations where a lower penalty clause will be applicable, say for example where an obligation is created in the regulations, for example the reporting requirements, if a bidder or if a seller wants to sell horns at an auction, there's an obligation on the seller to provide the department with a list of registered bidders within a certain time frame. So if the seller doesn't comply with that time frame or not report to the department, that's an offence in terms of the regulation. So that's a minor offence. Then it's the lower penalty, but then the maximum is still 5 million or 5 years. Or for a subsequent offence, it's 10 million or 10 years. What I also want to highlight here is that we do take cognizance of the concern regarding wildlife crime. Maybe not relevant for this particular discussion, but it's maybe something just need to be aware of what is coming. In the complete redo of the Biodiversity Act, we have made provision for wildlife trafficking and elevating a penalty clause for that kind of a contravention. So where a contravention is part of wildlife trafficking, whether it's rhino horn, elephant ivory, cycads, It doesn't matter. We made provision for a penalty clause of 20 million or 20 years. And in the normal other, if it's not a necessarily wildlife traffically related, it's still 10 million, 10 years. So we have built in amendments of member a further higher category for specific organized crime type of offenses. Chair, do you want me to continue on to the next one?
I think so.
The assessment of capacity. We did not anticipate that the implementation of these regulations will necessarily relate to a higher or substantial impact on capacity. The reason is that the minister is currently the issuing authority for permits relating to the selling or buying of rhino horn. So most of the responsibilities in this regard will come to the department. The one area that we have made provision for inspections is when a person applies for a selling permit. The issuing authority must do an inspection of the horns to confirm the markings and the measurements of the horns. We have made provision there that in terms of sharing of capacity, we've made provision that it may be an EMI, environmental management inspector from the province that can do the assist the department in doing the inspection, or it can be an EMI with a national mandate from another province if that would be necessary under the particular circumstances, or an EMI from the department can do that inspection. So we don't really anticipate that the implementation of the regulations will have such a big impact on the capacity of provinces. Obviously, they will have to monitor the prohibitions, the compliance with the requirements, but they need to do the monitoring anyway. So it's not that they will be proactively going out and looking for contraventions, but if they pick it up, they will be in a position to deal with it. So therefore, we haven't specifically done an assessment in terms of what capacity is required to implement the regulations and the prohibitions, but we have highlighted the fact that we don't anticipate a substantial impact in the socioeconomic impact assessment that we did and that was approved by the department by DPME. Thanks, Chair.
No, I'm fine, Chair, with the explanation. I just wanted to check what administrative burden are they talking about, but the explanation is fine.
Members, are you fine?
Can I just one question of clarity? So there will definitely be an impact, not an impact, but yeah, on the provinces in terms of inspections and everything. It means that's an additional, an additional capacity for the provinces. Is that what you are saying?
I think there's just one clarification that I also want to make, and I'm not sure whether it's maybe a misinterpretation by the provinces who provided input, but just for the benefit of the committee as well, the prohibition, the period of 3 years prohibition that we're talking about is only on intentionally powdering the horns or selling the powdered form or exporting the powdered form or selling specimens smaller than 5 centimeters. So the rest of the trade and the selling of the horns and so forth by auction or by one-on-one selling transactions, that can still continue. So there's no prohibition on that. The prohibition only relates to the powdering part and the selling and the export and the selling of the smaller specimens. Thanks, Chair.
So, members, are we clear on this legislation?
Yes, we are fine.
Okay. Are you fine in the department?
Okay.
So,
thank you, Chair. Through you, Chair. Members, we do not have the required provinces to adopt the report today. The Act does then the Nemba Act says and the Constitution, Section 146, 7 and 8, that if the department does not receive a response within 30 days, the minister would regard that as consent from the part of Parliament. What has happened here is last week already, members were more than satisfied with the department's explanation. Today we just took it one step further. So for all intents and purposes, we have agreed on what is before us, the committee. It's just that we need to adopt the report because this matter was referred to the committee for consideration and report. So Mr. Matibe has made a suggestion that because next week we're having a joint meeting with the PC, so we're swapping the days, Mr. Matibe has agreed to give us a slot in his meeting to adopt the committee report, which means five provinces has to be present because the subordinate legislation is a branch of a Section 76 bill. So I would just like to ask members that in next week Tuesday's meeting there are four provinces present. If these four provinces could then next week vote on the, we will have more than four provinces present, so then we can adopt this report and take it to the House. Thank you.
Chairperson, I move that we actually implement that suggestion then.
I second.
Okay. So it means we are done with our first
item.
Now, thank you very much, the department, to come and explain the legislation to us.
Keep
so we will remain.
Just finish.
Okay. I will release the department, and then we'll remain as the members here. And then we'll continue with the item.
Chairperson, I just want to congratulate the department on these regulations. They are much needed, and it was vital regulations that needed to be implemented. So congratulations, can I say, from the Free State South, then. Well done.
No, thank you very much, the department. We'll meet. We'll meet.
We are busy processing the National Forest and National Environmental Management. That process will kick off in January. But I'll phone Hisham. Maybe I'll sit with Hisham and explain to him what our process will be. We have discussed. Well, maybe if you want to, I can so much as explain to members now about that bill, how we plan on doing
it. Okay, do it.
Linda?
About the bill.
Thank you, members. While I have members here and the topic has come up, two bills, remember in a few meetings back, we were talking about legislation that was not finalized by the committee in the fifth parliament. The NCOP has resurrected and referred two bills to the committee, the National Forest Amendment Bill and the National Environmental Management Laws Amendment Bill. In the past, the problem was always calling the department for a briefing, then asking for public comment. So the committee's report with its inputs was always one step behind the process. So myself and Kobus sat and we thought this is the perfect opportunity, because if we send members to provinces now, it's the end of the year. If members go brief provinces now, come next year, you would have forgotten what was discussed. So what Corbis and I looked at, and I think we even discussed it in that meeting in S26, where we made a proposal, when the department submits a bill and Parliament refers it to the committee, let us first advertise and call for public comment. Once we have that public comment, Corbis will do a report. Then when the department comes to brief the committee, we can meaningfully engage the department and say, right, this is what you are presenting, this is what our public comments say, how do we marry the two? Out of that, we can take the report from all our submissions plus the minutes of the meeting, take that to provinces. So when members then brief provinces, you have the inputs that we received plus the discussions around those inputs, so that when the province takes that meeting to their public hearings, they can combine all the inputs and take in the concerns, recommendations of the committee at a committee level and include it in their negotiating mandate meeting, so that when that mandate comes to the committee, it's then an incorporated mandate. Everybody's concerns, the department's responses, everything is before the committee. In the past, the committee's report, because the public consultation was done while members were briefing the provinces, the report always lagged behind. It always came as an afterthought. So we thought maybe this time is a new parliament, let us start off by doing it that way, so that when we engage a department, we don't just sit here and listen to the department talking. We can actually go and say, the public is saying this, what are you saying? So that when the mandates come, they are meaningful mandates, we can then negotiate, permanent delegates can negotiate on behalf of provinces, and then we come to a fight, and then afford us the opportunity to amend the legislation accordingly, and then submit final mandates and take it to the House. That is actually the process. So we have put a political application in for adverts. The closing date for submissions on both bills will be the end of January 2020, so that I take it we always schedule meetings for immediately after SONA, so that the minute the committee convenes at its first session, we will have a report ready on what the public had to say on those two bills. So that is the proposal that we came up with. Going back to the meeting we had in S26 and what we discussed there, I leave it to the members.
Thank you, Chairperson. I like the approach because it gives us more information when we go to our provinces and deal with it there. I just want to make sure that I do think it is, but is this according to the processes we can follow or should follow? Just for our sake, just so that we know that the process is correct.
The process is a committee process. It is how we choose how best to make the process work. What I've done is, also what I forgot to mention, is the NCOP has a rule that 76, that's a 6-week cycle. I've already applied to the chair of the council for an extension of the 6-week cycle, which means that the committee doesn't do a rush job and we're not bound by that 6 weeks, so that due diligence can be, yeah.
Sorry, I was thinking Asker would throw it in, but he had focused on other aspects. The one big concern that the Fifth Parliament showed with 76 process bills was that the courts always asked Parliament whether the public was meaningfully consulted. And the discovery made time and time again was the public input that was called for by the committee ended up not being meaningful because the committee couldn't use it. They received it post-fact. The briefings in the provinces have happened, the provincial mandate was busy being developed, and then only could we brief the committee on what the opinions of the public inputs were. So that entire consultation became inconsequential. The data was not used, the voices weren't heard. So slowing the process down just a few steps and allowing the public input to be part of the committee's database before they even engage provincial briefings would be a better meaningful use of the effort that people actually put towards giving us the comment, which is what we've asked for. And those adverts don't come cheap. It's an expensive exercise to then just write a report about input and not use it, which is where 76 processes ended up in the past.
I think now we are clear about the procedures. Let's release the department so that we must remain with our matters of the committee. Thank you very much. We really appreciate your effort. Thanks, Ne. Tell me. Members, now we go to our item number two, which is the report, the oversight at Gauteng. We have sent the report last week to the members. I don't know, members, did you go through the report so that you can check whether is it the true reflection? Okay. Kubas, before, honorable member, Kubas, you want to explain something?
Yes, yeah, I just want to contextualize the document. It's very difficult when we are dealing with a topic in meetings and in oversight. When members are handed the oversight report, we could only capture what was observed and gleaned from discussions during the oversight. There will be a greater committee report on AgriParks, but this document only focuses on that window that was open with the oversight, the sites we saw there, the information that we received there. It doesn't capture anything that we know outside of it. That would still happen. I just thought I'd clarify that before we start editing the document. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Mr. Kubas, Honorable Ndatimathibe.
Yes. I was just checking because I also saw the comments from the department.
Yes.
On matters that we raised, whether they have been incorporated here.
In the report.
Because I think they are very key in terms of the issues that we raised in relation. But I understand the context that Kopas is putting in terms of the observation that we made, because those are just responses in relation to the observations that we have made when we were doing
oversight.
And also to say we might also have enough time to look into it so that I will adopt it together with the other reports. Does it require, it requires us to have a quorum?
Yes.
We can as well look at any other issue that we think we can comment and then adopt it on Tuesday as well. Follow that process.
If I hear correctly, Mr. Matibe was asking about the document that the department gave their responses. That document, we only received it on Friday. We only received it on Friday. This report was compiled, I think, 5 days after we came back from the trip already. The report from the department is what emanates out of the meeting. The report is from the oversight. So, no, we did not incorporate it because it's two separate documents. But they can be read together, because they are on the same topic. What we would like members to pay attention to or look at is at the back. It says recommendations by delegation. Now, normally at the end of an oversight, members will discuss with the secretariat or email us any recommendations that they want to put. What we've done in the past, Kobus has compiled a list. That's why we put it in bold on the second last page, and I said there, Recommendations made in the report are made by members after the report has been circulated and read by members. Below are questions and answers that serve as a guide for members' inputs and recommendations in this report. So members, we would appreciate it if members go through 20, 21, and 22 pages, look at it. If you would like to add anything, more than welcome. Mail us. We'll put it in here. If members are happy with what Corbus has put under recommendations, we will then adopt this report as is, and we'll change those questions to statements and to make it flow for a report purposes. But if members would like to add anything, more than welcome. Email me, Corbus. If you want any clarity, no problem. But we just need to know that members are happy with the report as is, because moving forward, how we will do it is we can take the report. This report will highlight what we saw discussed during the oversight. The report from the department on the questions from the meeting, we can take both documents and say, we came from the oversight, this is what happened. We came to the meeting, we discussed it with you, your answering is this. But what Corbus has already picked up at somewhere that the two don't marry. So moving forward, we could develop questions for the department to say, this is our report, this is what you told us after the meeting in answering our questions, but here's our response because the two don't add up. So this is an ongoing thing because the committee has chosen, I think during the, was it the strat plan session, the agri-parks, sustainable energy. Yes, there were, but I think agri-parks fitted in with food security, so this was one of our main, so it's not like it's a topic that's, it's an ongoing. So me and Corbus even came up with a thought that members were talking about doing site inspections on agri-parks, unannounced. So in future, if we go, hypothetically, we go to Northwest, we go to Mpumalanga, we go for mining issues, if there's an agri-park in the area, nothing stops this committee from getting in a van and going to have a look at it. We don't need to call the department to be there. We can go there and have a look and see, because that's what ultimately what the committee resolved to do in the meeting in V454. I don't know the date, but I think Mr. Kluter raised it. I think you raised it, sir, in V454, that some of these visits should be unannounced visits. So I'm just going, we are working, whenever we brainstorm and go forward, we work on what the committee has resolved to do. Thank you.
Now we have received the report, members. I don't know, is it the true reflection after the explanation that we received from Aska and Woba? We'll decide next week. Yeah. The other thing, members, that I want you to put it in consideration, remember we did the oversight in Joburg. After the oversight, we have realized that there are problems in the department. Then we requested them to come and present, and they must come with the provinces, and then they did. I think the members, as the member of the committee, we must reflect on the presentation that we receive, on especially from the provinces. We did receive the presentation from the provinces. As much as we are from the provinces, I would like all the members that are coming from the province, they have seen the report from their province, and they have seen that from their area there are the agri-parks. So members, please help the committee to go there. You can go on your spare time to check
For example, Mina, I did went to check where they say they have erected three hectares of palisade. And from there, I went there, go Moretele. So please, if you can do that, because we are not fighting department, we are not fighting anybody. No, we are not. We are not. But we want to see, yes, when we are doing our oversight work, so that tomorrow history must not just judge us. So if on your spare time, you can go there. But I'm not saying when you go there, please don't use your cap. I'm from Freedom Front, I'm from the ANC, I'm from EFF, I'm from what. We are just going there as the member of the committee. And even on your constituency, you can brief the committee to say, here in the province, we do have the agri-parks. The agri-parks are helping the farmers. They are helping, they are creating jobs and so on. In your constituency meeting, you can even help us as help the government to communicate the messages to our community. So let's do that, honorable members. I think somebody will brief us where from Limpopo there are Greek parks, they are good. The model there is good. We can even take that model from Limpopo to Western Cape or to Northwest, just to help each other. Thank you very much, honorable members.
I have a question. It's actually a question, an issue I want to put on the table. We don't need to discuss it now. I was just wondering, seeing that we are concerned with land reform, mineral resources, the whole issue of water in South Africa is becoming a really big issue. Let's forget about the drought. Statistics show that I think 42% of water goes lost within municipalities through leakages. I was wondering whether that could be a topic of discussion and something to be focusing on next year. We don't need to do it now, but something we can discuss next year urgently.
Unfortunately, in the infinite wisdom of how departments are structured inside committees, this committee was handed just about every environmental resource except water. The committee can potentially explore how parts of water that does fall within the committee's realm, the catchment management and some of the wastewater treatment, can potentially be joined to some of the works that the committee that deals with water sanitation and human settlements, if there is opportunity for joint work. But unfortunately, there's a whole lot of steps involved from the catchment to the door of a user, and none of it falls within the committee. The committee has it before it's in a dam and has it after it leaves a house, under certain circumstances, but nothing in between belongs to the committee, unfortunately.
Agenda until next week, Wednesday. No, the meeting.
Yeah, no. The minutes and reports will have to wait till next week. The committee was invited by the portfolio committee to attend next week, Wednesday. The portfolio committee, I sent an invite out to all members. So essentially what has happened was Mr. Matibe usually sits on a Wednesday. Mr. Matibe will sit in our slot Tuesday, and then the entire committee will then go to the portfolio committee. So this is essentially the last meeting of this committee for the year. I thank all the members for...
Hi, Wolf.
On behalf of us, Chair will, we would like to thank everybody for their indulgence with us being new staff. The chair will officially close. Thank you.
You have another chairperson next to me. Members, we will meet next week. Which, like he said, it will be our last meeting of the committee. But members, remember, when you go to recess, we still have the legislation. Maybe from the early January or early January, after first week or second week, we'll request the members to come to meeting or so on. So members, after the 10, the 11, the 12 January, they must be ready that they can receive any call to come to do the legislation, because you know the legislation, they do have time to say on this date you're supposed to adopt it and pass the legislation. So I think we'll meet next week. This meeting is officially adjourned. Thank you, members.